So what's the other one? Well, this explains why most secularists insist on traveling down the moral path of a moral realism. This is the idea that moral judgments are grounded in objective truth values or standards that are independent of the person making such value judgments.
Right. So this is, I think, an important concept, right? This idea of independence. So what do we mean by, you know, that these are objective truths? Well, we mean that they're independent of what I believe or perhaps what my culture or society believes, right? They are true regardless of what we believe, right? That's what we mean by objective. So, you know, I like to use the illustration of, you know, the tallest mountain above sea level, right? Mount Everest. Well, notice that's the tallest mountain on Earth above sea level. What if I don't believe that? Well, it's regardless of what I believe, it's objectively true. Well, what if my culture doesn't believe that? Doesn't matter. It's objectively true. It's true independent of what I believe. And so the point he's trying to make here that realism says is that there are some independent, objective, moral truths that exist. That's the realist position, right? And he says, he's suggesting here that most secularists, right, unbelievers, hold to that kind of position.
Oh, but you're being circular, because in order to understand that, you have to have language, and language is cultural, and so, therefore, you can't have language or objective truth. So it's all circular. All you presuppositional language people are circular, and, you know, that's where you belong, out there. Okay. So, such objective moral standards must be transcendent. It must be timeless, invariant, and universal. And herein lies the dilemma. How do you ground such moral judgments if God doesn't exist?
Right.
What do you point to that is timeless, invariant, and universal? On the other side of Mars or in your backyard, murder is wrong. The taking of a life for someone who didn't transgress upon you or deserve it, why is that wrong on any planet or on any timeline that you're on?
All right. So we have these two positions that the secularists can take. They can say, you know, morality really doesn't exist. There's no such thing as good and evil. It's all subjective. It's whatever people think, whatever people feel, that kind of stuff, which most reject. Or they can say, no, morality is objective. It's the moral truths exist independent of us. And, you know, and that's why, you know, we have to obey them. Right. And so he says the fact is that many atheist thinkers are flummoxed by the tension that exists between the logical bent toward moral nihilism. Right. If indeed there is no God and therefore nothing matters, then the logical thing says, well, nothing matters and there's nothing good or evil. It's just whatever I think. Right. So the tension between the logical bent toward moral nihilism that atheism leads to and the desire to retain some reasonable moral standards. Right. Many, he says, waffle between moral realism and moral subjectivism. In the end, all non-theistic worldviews must borrow from the biblical theism to make any sense of objective moral standards. The atheist doesn't have to believe in God to be moral, but to have morality, God must exist, whether he believes it or not.
Yeah, yeah. So borrowing from the Christian worldview, that's exactly what presuppositionalists are always wanting to kind of bring into the equation. And there's our explanation for the objection that we talked about in the last episode of, well, are you saying that atheists can't be a moral people? No, exactly. This is the reason why they can be.
Yeah. They can be moral. It's just the foundation.
Right. Right. Yeah. So grounding morality in the personal relational God, that's where we're at right now. And he says the non-theistic attempts to ground morality apart from God, they fail on different levels as well. Our moral sensibilities, or what remains after secularism has dulled them, are fundamentally connected to personhood and personal relationships. Should I murder somebody? Well, if you're Robinson Crusoe on his island and Friday hasn't shown up yet, what does that mean if you're not talking about murder who? What murder is an act towards somebody, and right, so you need that somebody in order to be moral or immoral. So our virtues and vices presuppose interpersonal relationships. Good and evil are meaningless apart from how persons treat other persons. I love my dog. Oh, but I don't have a dog. but I love him. Well, what does that mean? There's no interpersonal relationship there. So you can't love your dog, but you don't have a dog to not love or love. So it becomes meaninglessness there. Thus, moral imperatives are grounded in a source that is itself personal. Again, this is what we talked about. That Mitch Stokes talked about, that we talked about.
Yeah.
This rules are naturalistic sources, which are impersonal and non-relational.
Right. So the point he's trying to make here is that, morality can't be rooted in naturalism, right? It has to be our values and that sort of thing have to be grounded in persons. People value things. Some, abstract or objective rock doesn't have doesn't value anything.
Yeah.
Right? It has to be us. So the source then of these types of relationships, moral relationships, is from persons. It has to be grounded in persons, right?
Right.
In other words, he says that moral obligations are fundamentally relational. Right. Morals are not propositions of fact about the way things are. They are facts about the way things ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
Abstract propositions such as 2 + 2 = 4 do not impose any obligation on us, right? They don't want us to do anything, right? Abstract propositions, they don't have intentions. They do not move our conscience, right, to consider how we ought to act. But moral intuitions press us to act in one way or to refrain from acting in other ways, right? Thus, morals, he tells us, do not have an abstract naturalistic source. And that's the point he's trying to make here, right? He's saying that to say that, morals come from nature, it has a naturalistic source, is a category mistake. Only personal, intelligent beings demand moral obligations from us. Right?
And we see that whenever we watch a really good movie that moves us to tears or happiness or anger, is because we're seeing that kind of that moral direction of the character or characters on the screen that causes us to relate to that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just there's a bird that flies by. It's a person who, under extreme torture, duress, stands up and cries freedom, or whatever gets you going there. That's what we see on a daily basis, even in our entertainment.